Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Half Year Results 2021 conference call. I'm Sasha, the Chorus Call operator. The conference must not be recorded for publication or broadcast. At this time, it is my pleasure to hand over to Mr. Stefan Pierer, CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everybody. Stefan Pierer, starting with the half year's presentation, which is a headline, heading towards the 11th record year. If you look back to the first half year, it was the best ever. It was an outstanding half year. We were almost doubled sales on motorcycles, and on sales we had an increase compared to last year's period of more than 80%, and even compared to 19, because that's the last year before the Corona pandemic, then I think it's also a 40% increase. So that's outstanding. Secondly, I think we are running on full capacity on production. So overall, we have increased our headcount more than 500 people up to 4,900 people. So revenues more than $1.08 billion. The EBIT margin outstanding 9.5%, also the EBITDA margin of 15.9%. It's really successful. If we move to page 5 on our presentation, which we have on our website, I think you can see more or less, meanwhile, our 30 years track record. Anyway, in 2022, we are heading towards to the 30th anniversary. So in the first half year, we did 215,000 power two-wheelers. Yeah, so in all segments, in all areas, we could increase our market share. So our old guidance is still more than valid. And also our e-bike target, which we would like to in 25 to increase by 250,000 units and touching half a billion sales. If we move to page 6, where we can start how developed the different market areas. If we start on the left side on North America is still, the total market is still double-digit growing. So also Trump already started with the Trump dollars and even Biden. So every U.S. household has a certain liquidity. You can see it's everywhere, and also the market is driven by that. We could outperform that more than 20% because to outperform that was a very very strong challenge, because in some areas we already tried out on dealer inventory, and to get ready right in time for the production. That one of the, I would say, the best decisions we did last year in the first half year of Corona. We came back to production and office after 6 weeks, and we recognized at that time that the retail figures are going up and the demand grows very strong. So we informed all our supply chain, hey guys, get ready, increase the quantities. And so in the second half of the year last year, we did the production and we were ready to deliver that to the States. So in the first half, we had a good availability on the inventory, so we could outperform the market. A very interesting development is in Latin America. Although from the distance you can see maybe Corona is creating a chaos, but the market has grown substantially in the main markets of almost 50%. We could also outperform the doubling the figures. India is still, I wouldn't say heavily, but in a certain extent affected by the Corona issue. So the market, compared to last year, has grown by almost 60%, but is still 20-25% below 19. So they are still trying to catch up. In total, we are more or less in line with the market. in the premium with a 50% increase on that market. In Australia, although the market, they still are facing lockdowns, tough ones, especially the last couple of months, the total market still went up 10%. And we could outperform by plus 17% in, and Europe also is doing very well, 25% increase on the total market. We are more or less in line with the market with a plus of 21. What we have to mention in that, all our off-road motorcycles which are not registered are not in that figure. So on page 7, you can see specifically the different region compared to last year's half year. Europe is a plus of 17% in the Power Pira Mobility Group. North America plus 15. Latin America outstanding plus 85%. Africa, Middle East almost 20%. Asia is doing very well, a plus of 50%. Australia plus 13%. And India is a plus of almost 40%. If we move to page 9, here you can see the deliveries to the to our dealer network globally in the first half year. So in total, we were able to fill up again the dealer inventory with 176,000 units. You can see the breakdown in the different regions. Europe is a plus of 75%, North America 160%. That's what I already mentioned in the beginning. In some areas last year, we got dried out on inventory and availability was the key issue. Also in Latin America, Asia doubling the deliveries, and in India, it was an increase by 50%. On page 10, you can see in total how it went. In wholesales, we did 176,000. On registered bikes, 160. You have to add on all off-road bikes which are not registered. So overall, we still weren't able to catch up the inventory. We got a reduce of around 2,000 units. It's overseeable, but still we are doing as much as we can to fill up again the dealer network. PG&A is doing very nicely. It's a plus of more than 30% with a total revenues of 157 million units. If we jump on page 11, what's going on in the new segment, in the so-called in electric bicycle segment, although the total industry is struggling on the lockdowns in Far East and the supply chain shortages, although we are also fighting on that, we were able to increase the quantity compared to last year on 25%. For sure, if the supply chain would work as well as we are doing on the motorcycle segment, we could increase more, but 25 is not bad compared to the circumstances, and in the total with the revenues by 83 million. If we go on page 12, you can see how is the breakdown and the split in the different areas. For sure, currently it's the main focus is the so-called the DACH realm. It's Germany, Switzerland, Austria with 40,000 units. Then the rest of Europe, we started this year with 12,000 units. And outside Europe, it's just the first mark. If you look on page 13, you can see how it works on that booming, I would say, bicycle or electro-bicycle market. In the e-bike market, we can talk about in Europe in total last year is around 4.5 million units. So the market expectations saying that by 2025 we should reach 6 million units. And it's already started in very nicely also in North America, where the market last year did 300,000 units and is one of the fastest growing markets, which should come up to a million units. If you jump to the financial, I hand over to Fritz Reutner.
Okay, good morning, also from my side. Thank you, Stefan. If you look to the revenue we realized in the first half year, 21, you see a dramatic increase against 2020, which was strong hidden by the corona crisis. We couldn't produce for 2 months, but if you compare it to 2019, we realized at that time a revenue of 750 million. That means we had an increase of more than 300 million against 2019, which was the last normal year. So it was really an outstanding year. Also the result figures, looking at EBITDA of more than 170 million euros, EBIT of more than 100 million euros, extremely good figures for the first half year. The earnings with a level of 78 million euros, I have to explain that the financial result was nil at this half year because we had some extraordinary results from foreign exchange transactions of plus five, so that could cover the interest payment of around about 6 million euros, and the tax rate was around about 24%, so that resulted in earnings after taxes of 78 million euros. The earnings after minorities, 40 million euros, is a little bit more than 50% of the total earnings. You know, this is the effect of the Bajaj minorities we see in our structure, but this should be the last time this year because we are working on a restructuring, and in future the earnings after minority should be very, very close to the total earnings. EBITDA margin and EBIT margin, 15.9% EBITDA and 9.5% EBIT margin, also outstanding. The reason why it was so good, yeah, we had because of the high demand from the market, and you have heard what happens in the dealer stock, so it wasn't necessary to pay a lot of discounts. So the discount was very, very low in the first half year. Also, traveling costs were decreased in comparison with 2019 as a normal year. The productivity was a very nice one. We started with very, very strong cost efficiency program immediately after the begin of the pandemic last year, and we also see the outcome this year, which lead to that fine EBIT margin. On the other hand, we paid more freights. This was, I think, this is the other side of the coin at the moment. Logistic costs are increasing dramatically. You see it in all industries, also in our industry, we are hit by very, very high freight costs. So the supply chain management is, I think, at the moment the biggest challenge beside the personnel department to cover all the needs we need for the production. On page 15, you see the split into the different segments, and you can see also a very positive development of the bicycle business. 6.1% EBIT margin in the bicycle business is, I would say, really clear ahead of our targets. Very good development. So we have also there a big challenge in the supply chain. I'm sure that you have heard the news in the different magazines wherever you read about the bicycle business that there is a strong shortage on parts. We try, because we have a very good relationship to our suppliers, we try to get what is ever possible, but the market is extremely squeezed, so the result is, I think, regarding that circumstances, a very, very positive one. 10% EBIT margin in the motorcycle, and that leads at the end, regarding also the overhead costs we have in the segment others, to a EBIT margin of 9.5%. I switch to the next slide, 16. Here you see the balance sheet figures. First line, the balance sheet total, 1.9 billion euros balance sheet total. A strong increase against the year-end of 250 million. We have to be aware that we have a cash portion in the balance sheet of more than 280 million, which is, I would say, extraordinarily high during the year. We have normally a peak of working capital during the year. This is not given. I come later on to this point. We have looked on the one hand, starting in 2020, to high cash reserves to be aware about the consequences of the crisis. This together with this very good cash flow development leads to that high cash portion. That means with an equity of 725, which is a very, very good number, which leads to an equity ratio of 37.4%. If I would deduct 200 million euros cash, I shorten the balance sheet, we would have a equity ratio of around about 42%, which I think economic-wise gives a better picture of the structure of our balance sheet. I can tell you that we are very happy, and this is fully in line with the long-term targets we are following. The working capital is quite low. Only a small increase in comparison with the year-end. Normally, the year-end was already a low figure. Normally, the figure during the year is much higher, but the strong demands leads to a very strong flow through the production and a very low stock at the end of the day. We have a working capital of 11.2% during the year and a gearing of 35% net to EBITDA, 0.8. Both key ratios much better than we expected. At the end of the day, you know the targets, gearing should be around about 50% and lower on an average base and net to EBITDA below 1. This is the long-term guidance we are following and the long-term target. With that positive effects, we are quite better during this year. CapEx, one word to the CapEx. Also, CapEx is fully in line with the budget. We have had a cash flow of 84 million euros in the first half year. On page 17, you can see the free cash flow. Free cash flow of 66 million. Cash flow from the operating activity with 150 million, an outstanding value, more than 100 million better than last year. One effect comes from the result, the other one from the working capital. Investing, I already mentioned, with 84 million. This leads to that cash flow of 66, which means 6.2%. It's ahead the target we defined, the target, the long-term target between 3% and 5%. Also the outcome of that very, very positive year. On page 18, you find our new guidance. We increased the guidance for the revenue by 50 million euros in the range. That means we see now a range between 1.9 billion and 2 billion euro turnover. The EBIT margin and the EBITDA margin both stayed at the level we had before. This reflects some question marks in the supply chain. Here we are still cautious for the second half year. This was the reason why we have the EBIT margin and EBITDA margin stays at the level we had before. I would like to hand over again.
Maybe you're still explaining the simplification.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I proceed with the simplification of the structure and the ownership of KTM AG. We have published the development of our talks to Bajaj. We are working on that uplifting project. It is, I would say that the project is in line with the plans we published. At the end, it leads what we are working on, that leads to simplification of the structure. 46.5% of KTM AG should be contributed as a capital increase in kind to Tierra Mobility, which will be a capital increase of around about 50%. The outcome for all shareholders will be a better ratio regarding earnings per share. Also the dividend potential should increase because in future all the dividends will be paid out to Tierra Mobility. The dividend potential also for the free float will be higher one than in the past. As I mentioned, everything well on track, and we expect the next steps end of September, where we will publish what's going on.
Okay. Thank you, Fritz. I'll touch the very strategic important point on page 20. It's the joint venture we set up in the first half year or in July this year with our tier one supplier, Maxcom. Maxcom is a Bulgarian-based company, very efficient one, is assembling and producing electric bicycles for different brands. Already 3 years ago, when we jumped in as a rookie or newcomer in that segment, we decided to, instead of producing or assembling the bikes in Vietnam, Taiwan, or wherever, we should focus on within the European community, within the Eurozone. We set up that agreement in Bulgaria with Maxcom. Maxcom is doing, by the way, this year's quantity on all electric and bicycles for our group. And as a next strategic step, we decided to set up a joint venture where to guarantee and to provide all the circumstances to achieve the 250,000-300,000 units. And secondly, together with Maxcom, we want to bring a lot of components back to Europe, because that is one of the very strange situation. The market is in Europe, as I already said, 6 million units in the next couple of years, and all components and all main suppliers are in Asia. It's crazy. Corona has disrupted that heavily, and also has increased the transportation cost incredible. Just for example, a 40-foot container from China to Europe, which has an average transportation price of $3,000 before Corona, is now more than $20,000. Yeah, you have heard the right thing, $20,000. It's crazy. And so it's very important to bring in the next couple of years the main components back to Europe, also on low cost areas, and Bulgaria within the European Union is one of the best, and it's also logistic wise very efficient, because all transportation through Suez, you can do Black Sea, and then Bulgaria is a perfect place for transportation. That's one strategic decision we set up. And secondly, on page 25, you can see a picture of our new e-mobility center, which is covering the low voltage products, 48 volt from 250 watt up to 11 kilowatt. It's the center of R&D for the e-mobility products. Secondly, it's also combined with the design center. You can see in the middle there's the Kiske Design Center, where 250 people are working. Behind you can see the new center for the electric product. So all those strategic steps and all the, I would say, engagement of the group leads me to 22. It's always very important to have a vision, and the vision is a vision which in a certain period you can achieve, and that's what we want to become. We want to become the global leader of electric power two-wheelers in the low voltage power range from 250 up to 11 kilowatt. Yeah, it sounds a little bit brave, but if you look what we did throughout 30 years on motorcycles, I think you can trust us that it will come. If we go to page 24, that's the current group structure, which is precisely organized. On the left side, you have the motorcycle division with the three brands and also with the PG&A brand WP. Then in the middle, you have all the forefront design R&D structure organization. And on the right side, you can see our three brands on the e-bike business. It's Husqvarna, GasGas, and Raymon. GasGas is special, is just focused on the motorcycle dealer network. Husqvarna and Raymon are for the independent dealer network. If we jump to 25, then an update on our very successful cooperation with Bajaj. I think the uplifting concept was already explained by Fritz Reutner for the running production. Although India was heavily infected by the corona, I think our partner was always in a good shape and could provide us increasing quantities. So if we look back since the beginning, 2011, this year we have already produced more than 850,000 KTMs and meanwhile Husqvarnas on that platform in India. We are proud of that. We are also enlarging our cooperation on the low voltage electro bike concepts, and the new lineup for model year 22-23, it's precisely on track. So the new generation will show up in model year 23. This year, in the first half year, almost 90,000 units produced. I would say more than half of that we were distributing around the world, and the rest stayed in India. On page 26, also an update on China. China is still, I would say, very difficult to operate because you are not able to travel, you are not able to get in. So everything is working on a digital base, honestly saying. But even though our partner was already ready to start the production on our joint production facility, the new one, you can see on the picture, in April. Meanwhile, we're also producing our first middle-class model, the 790 Duke, or the supply chain is working on that. And for the next couple of months, we are fulfilling the demand in China, because China is one of the fastest growing motorcycle markets currently around the world. And if you look on page 27, you can see our current production facilities. Austria is clear. Mattighofen, half year, 85,000. By the end of this year, we are touching 190,000. So we are really on the ceiling. India provided more than 80,000 units in the first half year. And in Spain, we are producing our trial bike, which in the first half year, more than 2,000 units. The CKD operations in China, Philippines, Argentina, Brazil, and Colombia are working, although it's very difficult to handle through Corona on several shutdowns in the areas, especially in the second half year last year. We faced a lockdown in the Philippines, and so it's really challenging, but you get used to that, and it's, I would say, the circumstance for everybody the same. If you go on page 28, you can see our main growth driver, the number of dealers, the development throughout the last couple of years. After the first half year 21, we had more than 4,000 motorcycle dealers, already 300 so-called dual brand dealers. They are providing at least two brands from our program. And what we are very proud that after 2 years, we have already almost 1,500 independent bicycle dealers, mainly in Europe, and especially the DACH area. Including the bicycle deals, we could already convince 260 motorcycle dealers to take over the e-bike program. So that's one of the, I think, big advantages what we have to the classic OEMs. If we jump to page 29, it's the development of employees. As I already mentioned in the beginning, we grew up from 4,500 almost to 4,900. It's driven by the increase of quantities and capacity in the production, but also on the, I would say, we have increased our apprentices program because it's very important to get young, well-educated employees in the future, because recruiting is one of the challenges in Europe. Currently, and if you have a high quality own apprentices training program, you have a certain advantage. We are still a young company, so 37 years is our average age. Our gender quote is almost 25% related to the product. We are proud of that. That's more or less in the presentation from my side. I would like to hand over again to Fritz for the next pages.
Yeah, thank you. On page 30 and 31, you'll find listed the main topics of our sustainability activities, which is a very important thing, but they will only highlight as a short summary three points, not to waste too much time now for this point. The one is for sure the implementation of the ISO certification we have done, and which is completed in the first half year of 21, which is an important step. The next targets are to get rated. The second one is the activity in Salzburg in ANIF, our electro competence center. We have invested and which starts working and looking at the strategic goals from Stefan mentioned. I think this is a very, very important step also regarding sustainability targets we will fulfill. And the last one, the last highlight, I would say it's in the meanwhile an evergreen because it's a very, very important corner point in our personal program is our apprenticeship program. We have increased our apprenticeship number by 18 new apprentices this year. We're just starting, and this gives us the new potential for our production we need. I think this is really an important backbone figure, especially in times as we see it now, where the personnel market is a very, very strong stressed market. So these are the highlights from the sustainable activities, and so we finalize with this our presentation and would ask you
for Q&A
questions.
Maybe we hand over to the moderator. Is he still on the line?
The first question comes from Christian Arnold from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning to everybody. Very impressive H1 figures. I maybe would like to start with the motorbike business, where you also showed excellent margin, excellent volumes. And on the back of that, and you already mentioned it, you haven't changed your outlook for 21, which looks a little bit cautious then. And I wonder, I mean, beside the supply chain issues, which we know, are there other issues? Are there special costs you are facing, additional costs? You mentioned logistic costs, but that I think we already had also in the first half. Are they other costs that you have to pay much more for components, much even more for logistics? Maybe you can comment on that first.
I think I have to correct you. We have changed our guidance. We have increased sales. So don't get me wrong on that. That's clear. So the almost 2 billion, we are sure that we can achieve that. On the margin, we expect, anyway, we are, I would say, we are famous for to fulfill our targets. Yeah. If you look back on my 20 years career on the stock market, that's my philosophy. Instead of telling you some nice stories and otherwise to correct it. Secondly, we have a much more impact on costs on logistics. The first half, as I said, we had logistic costs on container-wise, which was half of that what we are facing right now. And there's more or less a monopoly on the transportation. There are some container big ones like Maersk and these guys, they are printing money. In my opinion, the antitrust things should look on that. But anyway, secondly, raw material costs for sure, in a certain extent, also impacting the thing which you are facing in the second half, not in the first half. Yeah. The positive thing is still you don't have discounts as we had before Corona. That's offsetting that. So that's the reason that we stayed on the same EBIT margin, on the same EBITDA margin. But sales-wise, it will be more.
Yes. I mean, I have seen your guidance increase, which you already published last Friday.
Yeah.
But yeah, I meant compared to what you said last Friday, we haven't changed the guidance. So that's what I meant. Have you observed any changes most recently in terms of the very high demand for motorbikes? I mean, July and August, have you seen the same pattern as you have seen in the first half?
I would say power two-wheelers in a total. Don't make a big separation bigger. The e-bike are heavily affected by the supply shortages. Everybody. That's the problem, as I explained, with the Asian situation in Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand, you have lockdowns. So the vaccination is not on that quote what we have in Europe. So it's very challenging. On a motorcycle, we have a certain advantage because we have our supply chain under control. We have an Asian one, we have an Indian one, and a European one. And that's the reason that we can outperform the market and provide availability. That's the what is on the market changing. What we can see already since a couple of weeks or 2 months, the lockdown and the zero corona policy from Australia and some other countries are stupid. Yeah. And now in Australia, the people are really depressed, and you can see it already on the demand. The demand is reducing compared before. It's not just flattening, it's also decreasing. That's related to this stupid lockdown. Latin America is still growing like hell. I don't know why. Yeah, but it's like that. And in U.S. is also very stable on the high demand. Europe so far as well. So I would say for 2022, I see a very positive outlook. And secondly, even though it's flattening out and becoming stable, we have our homework to do. We have to fill up again the dealer networks. So as I mentioned in the beginning, the first half year, we kept it more or less stable with less reduction, but usually we have to fill up at least 10,000-20,000 units. So that's the picture. But it's nobody knows what's coming up with Corona. But I think in some areas you get used to that, and it's one of an additional sickness you can have and you have to deal with.
Okay. Related to your last comment about fill up the dealer network, did I understand you correctly that in Austria, by year end, you aim in terms of units produced for 190,000 after 85,000? So
yeah.
The second half, you produce actually more, and with that, you can fill up the dealer network, right?
Yeah. And that's also caused by the situation that the second half is the main production period where we are doing off-road bikes. Off-road bikes have more or less half the production or 60% of the production time compared to a very complex street bike. So that's the reason that we can, with more or less with the existing team, produce quite a lot more products. But in addition, in 2 weeks' time, we are also adding on the last possible shift. We are running on the eight-shift system on full capacity. That's the ceiling I mentioned. And so that means on a yearly basis, we can reach 200,000. Unfortunately, the Chinese production on the middle class has started this year, so that helps us for the next year, around 20,000 capacity to support Austria.
I would have one, two questions on the e-bicycles, and then I go back to the queue. Just a clarification, the joint venture, you are saying that an investment of 40 million, is that your investment as a Pyro Mobility,
no,
or
is the
it
joint,
the total?
This is the joint.
That's a joint.
This is the
joint.
Joint. 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
20 million. Okay.
Yeah.
Then you commissioned a new production site in 23, and you have a capacity, production capacity then of 350,000. I wonder, towards 23, do we already have more capacity so that you are able to actually increase the numbers produced and also that you can sell more? Or is it just that only at 23 you have additional capacities in place?
Maxcom has already an existing production facility which they can do around 300,000 units. Yeah. This year we are covering 80,000. So we have a certain room to grow in the existing facility. Yeah. And the joint venture facility is just reserved for our quantities. So it's a overlapping system that can work. That's on the production. How does it work on the market? If you can provide the quantity you can sell, not everything, but for sure we could double, in a very overseeable time. It's just the availability of products, and especially not the powertrain. It's some components are the shortages. Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Fortunately, we are anyway running on three main powertrains. We have Yamaha, we have Shimano, we have Bosch, and we for sure, as a big player, we got a lot of contacts with new players in that business. That's not the shortage. The shortage is frames, saddles, rims, tires. It sounds crazy, but it is as it is.
And thank you very much.
It means we have to bring in the next 2-3 years the important components back to Europe.
Thank you.
So to shorten, then that's also a thing of the working capital, because currently you have to order 1 year in advance, very detailed, specific order. And then you have to wait to get it. Then you have to finance the dealer. That's crazy. We must, like in a motorcycle, very close build to order, to the market.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Braun from Finanz und Wirtschaft. Please go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning, everyone.
I also have a question concerning your outlook. Mr. Arnold has already touched on the margin. My question concerns the revenue. Your forecast actually implies that revenue in the second half of the year will be about 15% less than in the first half. But you say that you have the supply chain in your motorcycle business is under control. U.S. demand is stable. European demand is also stable. And there's also not so much seasonality in your motorcycle business. So what's the reason for being so cautious? Is it that you just expect a normalization of the market? Are you lacking parts or are you just cautious because of the whole situation, or is it some of all of it?
Usually, if you look back on our history, it's almost 50-50, the half year. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So from your approach, your question is right. But what is the difference? First of all, I think in the second, the logistics are influencing also the sales, because currently you're not able to define exactly at what date the ship is landing in US or Australia, wherever, get unloaded and get ready to invoice in the market. You know that stories from the Chinese harbors, from the American harbors. If there's one or the other COVID issue, then they are reducing capacity, the ships are cruising around. So it's very, very volatile. That's the reason that we said, okay, a little bit cautious. If the ships are not entering in the planned time, that's one thing. Yeah. Secondly, as I already mentioned, we have an effect out of on the cost side. The transportation costs are increasing in the second half compared to the first half year. Raw materials sooner or later, you're also facing that in your production costs. So that's the reason that we kept the EBIT margin, although we are increasing sales. Yeah. And anyway, we are standing for a conservative, realistic target. And I'm always happy if we can not fulfill, exceed that. But it's very volatile, I can tell you. Talk to other companies, it's really, really crazy. Yeah. And
okay.
Secondly, I think China is still closed. Yeah, you are not able to get in. So, in my opinion, the global economy is in a very fragile situation currently, although all areas are booming. And what I also expect sooner or later, a high inflation rate is already on the way, because recruiting is a challenge. I would say the baby boomers are now getting retired really throughout the last 2 years or in the running year. So personnel costs are increasing. Secondly, raw materials, they won't get back immediately at the level before. Logistic costs are high. So that's the mixture. Yeah, we have a consistent inflation rate, which is, in my opinion, for sure 5%. For example, in Austria, in August, we had 3.1.
Mm-hmm.
For sure,
okay.
All our big guys from the EZB, Fed, and every, they are talking, and it's just a temporary effect. It's clear they want to reduce the debts in the long run. Yeah, because people, they have money and they are conservative, they are losing money.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
anyway,
thank you very much.
Brown, it's for everybody, it's the same. And the company, which is, and I think we have shown how to react in a very difficult situation a year in 2020, beginning of Corona. Immediately we have reacted, we came back on stage, we have increased our quantities, we have convinced our suppliers to deliver us more than we have ordered. I think, yeah, we are a big group, but a group which is led by an entrepreneur, and we can react quickly. And we have a lot of experience. And as I said, the next year we are celebrating our 30th anniversary. And if you look back where we are coming from, with 160 people, with 20 million sales, now we are number one in Europe. We are doing 2 billion. Almost 5,000 people, and now ahead of us is the low voltage two-wheel electromobility. I can tell you, it's a nice field.
Mhm. Mhm. Hope so.
Yeah.
Yes. Thanks.
It's like racing. It's always just racing keeps you alive. Yeah.
Sure. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Dietel Mark from Vontobel. Please go ahead.
Hi. Hello, everyone. I have four questions. I start with the first one again on the top line guidance. You said that maybe shipping delays are impacting the second half development. But when I just take the midpoint of the guidance, it's about the implied revenue is about 20% lower in the second half than the first half. So it's not cost, but is it really kind of delays in the supply chain that you think that it's that the second half volumes will be lower, and it's not the lower restocking effect in the second half. And the second one is on free cash flow. With the 2020 results, you stated that free cash flow to sales this year will be lower than the usual target of 3-5% of sales. And you stated that restocking will still be happening in the second half. So are you still still thinking that you will be below this level in for the full year? Third one is with MaxCom, the joint venture. Do you already have suppliers which will join the production site in Bulgaria and set up their own production facilities? And my last one is on the battery development with Varto. Can you give us an update where we stand there? What is the timeline, the expectations you have on that agreement there? Thank you.
Okay, I'll start with MaxCom. On that, we have got an option for, in total, it's around 20 hectares land on that. We are starting with our joint facility production and some. What we also already decided that on that location we are doing the Indian deliveries instead of bringing that up to Rotterdam or Hamburg and bringing to Mattighofen, finally sampling, checking, and distributing in Europe. We do it from a logistic and assembling center in Bulgaria. It's more efficient. That's one thing additional to the e-bike. And secondly, for sure, e-bike or low voltage e-bike products in the future could be assembled and produced in Bulgaria. That's one of the strategic concept behind. Secondly, we are already talking with Asama and Astro, that are main suppliers for us from Taiwan and Vietnam. Especially on the frame production, there's a high interest to join that place, that they set up their own factory and to produce frames within the Eurozone. So that's very attractive. Anyway, we are a big player and we are well known. So we are already facing contacts from Asian suppliers that they want to come to Europe, because even on the other side around, for them, based on the corona impact, they are also struggling. Yeah, they are not able to deliver. They have lockdowns, this or that. They must come closer with their production to the Eurozone, because the market is in Europe, nowhere else. So that's the MaxCom thing. Cash flow?
I would say one sentence to the guidance. I think we already covered that point two times. It always depends. It's on which side of the range we are. Are we in the middle? Are we on the lower end or on the higher end? This is a question of a crystal ball. We are cautious. This is the reason why we published that range. It's a risk given in the supply chain. We will see what happens. And I can tell you in several months, when we see clearer, we will update our guidance. So to this point, to the free cash flow, we have more than 6% now, half year. We also expect that we will be above the range of 3-5% for the end of the year. So only to clarify that situation. That what we are earning very good results that will lead to a very good cash flow. It depends on the working capital level. That will be the main points. The investments itself will be around about CapEx, around about 200 million euros. Budget for the whole year. This is covered in the budget, and we, in any way, I can tell you, if nothing dramatic happens, what we don't see, we will be above 5% free cash flow. This is what I can tell you. The exact figure we will see.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Okay.
Yep. On the battery, the water development.
On the battery, sorry, yeah. On water. Yeah, we are working on that standard packaging. And I think it's, I would say, precisely on track on model year 23 when we launch our first products. So water is part of that product. In addition to that, what the motorcycle industry is, I would say, an industry which is in some a niche industry. We know each other quite well. Just recently, we have agreed within all motorcycle manufacturers, especially the Japanese and the Europeans, that we are agreeing on standardized elements on that and swappable battery concepts where we do jointly. That it was just recently agreed, and also WATA gets connected to that. So finally, we are getting standardized battery packs, which is similar to a gasoline tank, which is providing for every manufacturer. We're also working together with Piaggio in that. So fortunately, in that segment is a very good understanding within the industry.
That's very good. Thanks a lot.
The next question from Andy Chambers from Edison. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi. Sorry. Very good half year. Congratulations. Most of my questions have been answered, thank you. But I just wondered on the motorcycle segment in particular on the supply chain, are any issues getting worse as we're seeing some quite severe disruption now in the second half in the automotive industry, for example? Or are you reasonably secure on the parts position in motorcycles? You've talked about e-bikes. I just wondered if there's anything on the motorcycle side.
If I make a breakdown on the different product groups, if I start on the e-bike, it's the most affected. That's also one of the other questions, why we are a little bit cautious on second half on sales. Where originally we had almost 100 million in our original budget, and I think to achieve that based on that shortages, it would be very ambitious. So that's one thing. Secondly, street bikes are very complex. You have a lot of chips in there and everything. So, and honestly saying, the only big guy who is struggling a little bit is Bosch. Elon Musk already said that Bosch is one of the headaches in the tier ones. That means for ABS and dashboards, that could be become a shortage, but not in a dramatic thing. Off-road bikes are very helpful because they are not electronically wired that complex. They have less chips on that, and that is the second half in our production period, and so that looks quite good. Although some other small things can happen on the supply chain. They are also affected because since we have restarted, I think that the fourth wave, especially driven by the people, they are not vaccinated. And it's interesting, I don't know how is it in Great Britain, but in Austria or in Central Europe, 60-65%. That's the maximum you can achieve that the people are convinced to vaccinate. And there's a hardcore group of 20-25%. They are heavily against that. They think they are getting rid of their freedom, whatever, and it's crazy. And those guys are bringing it back home again from the holidays from Croatia, wherever. That's the challenge what we have to handle.
We are very amenable to government interference in Britain, and we're up about 90%. So slightly high.
I'm always explaining. Look what your prime minister did. Yeah, you get rid of all the restrictions and let it run. But our politicians are sometimes very, very cautious, and that's hopefully we don't face lockdowns again. But industry has worked at any time throughout the last 1.5 years. So I'm not concerned about that.
It's all very difficult anyway. But just the second point, on your, you've mentioned a couple of times that you're going to be running pretty close to full capacity, particularly second half in Austria. And you've mentioned China will be a bit of a buffer for you in terms of supply in 22. But if demand, I mean, are you concerned the American situation is a bubble? And do you think there is a risk that you actually might become capacity constrained at some point in 2022 or maybe into 23?
You mean reducing the quantity or what?
Well,
no, the 200, that's what we can, as I said, on the middle class, we can shift around 20,000 to China, which helps us. And I think it's another 10% and increase. And I honestly, I said not more than that. That's my expectation for the next 2 years. Well, sooner or later, the market will touch the ceiling and then maybe flatten out. Yeah. Because we had double-digit growth rate the last 2 years, which it won't go on.
What we are doing, we are investing a lot, and also we increase now at the moment the logistic capacities. That means we have outside production capacities in India, we have it in China. These products, parts of these products are coming to Austria for the distribution channel. So we are investing in that handling facilities. This is what we are doing. And the production facilities with 200,000 units for the next years, so we see it as good enough. If it would be the case to invest, I think it will be connected with
the Bulgarian joint venture, because as I said, especially on the electro products, we will for sure in 23 we have capacity there.
And we have some optimization potentials. For example, look at the kids bikes. So we are producing at the moment in Austria, so we can hand it over either to Bulgaria or to Spain, whatever will be the idea. So we can swap between the different plants. So with the 200,000, as I mentioned, we feel well for the next 3 to 5 years.
Okay, and on North America, are you still concerned that the current household liquidity will dry up next year, or and that some
no,
of
no, we can,
some sales may
that's the reason
forward?
That we are running on full capacity second half to fill up the American pipeline for the first half year 22. So that's precisely
it should be covered.
That should be covered. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, gentlemen. Good luck. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a follow-up question from Christian Arnold from Stifel. Please go ahead.
Yes, on pricing, by how much on average have you increased your prices year to date for motorbikes and e-bicycles? Are you planning for an extraordinary price increase in the second half? And maybe already any thoughts about potential price increase for next year?
I mean, usually we are pricing, the pricing period is a model year. We don't do it throughout the model year. Yeah, that's for Europe very unusual. But I experienced that when I started more than 10 years ago with the Indian production. In India, they had at that time a high inflation rate of 7-8%, and they had two times, three times a year, even every quarter, an increase related to the inflation rate. It's interesting. Hopefully we won't get it in Europe. That's my observation. But usually we are doing by model year. Every new model year, you are looking around what's going on the market, and then based on the product, on the life cycle of the product, is it a new product anyway, you can increase the price. But on average, we are doing between 1.5 and 2%. That was the average price increase that we did throughout the last years, yeah. How will work with in model year 22 and 23? We have to look precisely into what is the impact of the raw materials, what the logistics and this or that. It could be maybe one or the other point more than that. That's honest. quite open.
We expect also that our competitors will increase their prices a little bit higher than in the past. So it could happen that we will increase a little bit stronger than in the past.
Yeah.
But model year wise.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at this time.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you very much.
Thank you
for the questions, and hopefully we see each other sooner or later. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thanks. Bye-bye.